This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome back to Radio Law Talk. I'm your host, Frederick Penny, with Denise Dirks, Cal Hunter, and Todd Kunin. Cal Hunter's our producer. These are my co-hosts, Todd and Denise. Having a great time. Talked about R. Kelly in hour one. We're on hour two. We just love having everybody and all our new affiliates. We've got multiple affiliates. We appreciate you being here. Call us at 855-LAW-RADIO. Again, 855-529-7234 if you want to call in. Or go to any of our – we've got Instagram, Twitter. Just type in Radio Law Talk and search us. You'll find us. And then you can go to RadioLawTalk.com. If at any time that someone's like, you know, they're covering it and all of a sudden we get preempted by something, you can go to RadioLawTalk.com and listen live. There's a live button. And we're every single Saturday, 9 to noon, rain or shine, Pacific time.
And of course, it's really easy to do it rain or shine since we broadcast indoors. But if you really wanted to be impressed, we should be broadcasting outside.
Well, think about
the rain or shine.
What if it's... We have broadcasted outside before. We were out at the fair, Auburn.
Some fair.
Lasser County Fair.
That was about 4 years ago.
Four years ago. Fred was suspiciously absent that time. I recall it was just me.
He was looking for a piece of berry pie. That's why.
You know what was interesting? It was really a bad... It was bad as in the sound quality was really poor, I remember.
The sound quality was really poor. And it was hard to hear, quite honestly.
So we did it once, and that was about it. We've got a great studio
here. That was
enough. Yeah,
that was until we get to go to Burning Man.
That's our next stop.
Yeah. Based on when I look outside, I'm half convinced Burning Man has come to us.
True.
It's California. We're based out of California. We're talking about general topics of law. Seek local counsel. We're not giving legal advice. This is an exciting and entertaining, this is very exciting and entertaining show, but remember, it's only sometimes informative.
Sometimes.
Yeah, and if you want to listen to
disclaimers?
Disclaimers, yeah.
Disclaimers.
Yeah, that's Cal, go ahead. This is the disclaimers. This is the disclaimers music. No, seriously. So, I couldn't sleep last night. Keep it going, Cal. I'm going to tell a story. I couldn't sleep last night. And I am dead serious. This is not an exaggeration just to be on the radio. I was thinking of literally looking up on my phone because I was looking at stuff and reading the disclaimers.
Reading the disclaimers.
Because I couldn't sleep.
That is on the door.
And yeah, so don't read it while you're driving because that's worse than doing anything.
Actually, don't read anything while you're driving. That's probably a good safety tip.
Or listening while you're driving. look, we're going to talk about immigration policies of Biden. We're going to talk about Supreme Court weighing in on the eviction moratorium. That is a very interesting one we're going to talk about. And apparently they're claiming, as they, it's like, who's they? The government is claiming mainly that the eviction is going to be how many millions of people evicted? I don't know. They're claiming there's going to be a lot, millions of people.
Yes,
evicted.
Millions.
And then we're going to talk about why a prosecutor is recusing himself from a double murder case. And then we're going to talk about wrongful death lawsuits going against the prison system for, the prison guards dying of COVID. And there's lawsuits going against that. That's going to be a very interesting one to discuss. You know why? Because there's a thing called workers' comp. That's under workers' comp. And we're going to talk about a prosecutor in South Dakota that is taking a plea deal and why.
That's an interesting story.
Yeah, that's an interesting story that we'll get into. But the reason we're here, like I always say, Cal, for one reason only, and that is case or no case.
Now it's time to play case or no case.
Yay!
And now, as promised, to Winooski, Vermont, a tony little town with about 8,000 people and a new mayor, Mayor Thad Beeman. And Mayor Beeman has a pet peeve, clotheslines. He occasionally saw a few of them on the poor side of Winooski. He knew that electricity is expensive in Vermont, but he just didn't care.
So one city council meeting after a sit-down with the town's lawyer, Ed Meyer, Mayor Beeman drafted up an ordinance prohibiting clotheslines in Winooski. He presented it to the city council after we talked it over with the lawyer, and it passed. But 3 weeks later, the lawyer for the city, Ed Meyer, was fired as the Winooski city attorney quickly and without much discussion. It stunned the town, and the city attorney got fired. So lawyer Meyer went to his own counsel and said, "Why can they fire me so quickly? I didn't do anything wrong. I have a great record. In fact, they saved the city some money on a few legal actions. So what's the deal here?" And the lawyer said, "Well, I don't know. They fired you for cause." He said, "I want to sue the council for wrongful term. So my lawyer, do I have a case or no case?" Todd Kuhnem, what do you think?
Sound like he was clotheslined by the city.
Wait a minute.
Just sitting right out
clotheslined by the city?
Clotheslined by the city.
Okay,
there.
Good. Yeah, that's good. I see what you did there.
Okay, so and they said he was fired for cause?
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, if they fire somebody for cause, then and they tell them, "We're firing you for cause," the question that I have and that he might have a cause of action for is, had the city established a progressive discipline policy in with their employees? If you're firing somebody for cause, then for due process rights and, you know, or whatever, the person's got to be able to say, "All right, show me what I did for cause."
I looked into that, too. They had an immediate for cause dismissal clause in this contract.
Okay. But they still got to tell them what it is.
That's true.
They, you know, they can't just say, "We're firing you for cause, but we're not going to tell you what it is." And so I'll say, yeah, this is a case, and he wins some sort of settlement, like maybe a month supply of clothesline hooks that are completely useless now because of the ordinance he helped draft and pass.
It all comes back. There's some irony there. Denise Dirks, what say you? Case or no case?
I think he was a fall guy because the mayor passed this ordinance or helped get this ordinance passed, which really makes absolutely no sense because people should be able to dry their clothes outside and not use electricity if that's what they choose.
It's a gateway crime, Denise. It starts with drying your clothes outside. Next thing you know, people are doing crack in the streets, okay?
Yeah.
You got to stop it somewhere.
Yes. Or some guy stealing clothes off the clothesline. He just didn't like the look of it. He said it makes us look like a shanty town, and he did not like that, which is his right to not like that.
I digress. I interrupted you, Denise. I apologize.
Okay. So, Denise, you say what?
No case.
All right. Mr. Penny, what do you say about this?
We have certain rules with case or no case. You cannot look up on the Internet to see whether or not this is a case, but I did look up on the Internet.
Oh, man. Here we go.
Winooski, Vermont. And let me talk about Winooski a little bit, just so you know. It's a really quaint, nice little town.
Yes.
Cal's right. And it's really beautiful. It's on the Winooski River. And did you know that this city is the most densely populated municipality in the northern New England area?
Mm.
No, that's northern. That's Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont area.
Fred Penny with the Denise Dirks-like answer.
Yes, that's exactly. I just thought I'd let you give you a few things.
Did you see any clotheslines?
I wasn't looking for clotheslines, but that's a really nice place, Vermont. Let's make sure that we get over there and get a radio station. You know, I have no idea about this one. Absolutely no idea. So Todd said, Cal, Todd, you said it is.
I said case and the fired lawyer wins something either at trial or by settlement.
Okay, and then Denise, you said no case. I'm going with Todd. I think it's a case, and I'm going to go with the lawyer because I'm all for the lawyers. Whatever the lawyers can do, I'm good for them. So we're going to be back after this and find out about the Winooski, which is Winooski River, Vermont, case of the clothesline when we come back, Cal.
All right, if you stay tuned, we will have the matter. We will resolve the matter of the Winooski clothesline ordinance and the clotheslined lawyer coming up in just a little bit right here on Radio Law Talk. Stay tuned, if you would, please. We'll be back.
There's more Radio Law Talk coming up right here, right after this. Radio Law Talk at RadioLawTalk.com.
commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
What's your IRS problem? Do you owe back taxes? Is there a lien placed on your property? Have your bank accounts been frozen or seized? Have your wages been garnished? Are you being audited by the IRS? Are they sending you letters that demand actions and have urgent due dates? Well, solving your tax problems is as easy as calling Taxes 321. The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. You need the best representation to give you peace of mind. You need experienced professionals that can cut through the red tape and stop the collection process. If you have a serious problem with the IRS, call the Taxes 321 Network today. We'll get them off your back.
800-738-0170. 800-738-0170. 800-738-0170. 800-738-0170.
Learn how thousands of smart homeowners are investing about a dollar to avoid expensive home repair bills. John, a former non-customer, said, "My air conditioner broke and I had to spend $1,900 to fix it." Jeff, a customer, wrote, "My air conditioner broke and I got a new one at no out-of-pocket cost." Mary, a former non-customer, wrote, "My heating system stopped running. I had to spend $3,000 to get a new one." Lisa, a customer, wrote, "My heater stopped working. I got it fixed at no out-of-pocket cost." For about $1 a day, you can have all the major appliances and systems in your home guaranteed fixed or replaced with HSC's home warranty coverage. Call now, and the first month is free. If the lines are busy, please call back.
Call now, 800-238-9182, 800-238-9182.
In the last 12 months, the Federal Reserve has added over $4 trillion to their balance sheet. It's led to an explosion in financial assets. Stocks, bonds, commodities, cryptocurrencies, housing prices have all exploded higher. But the Federal Reserve can't keep this going forever. This is unsustainable. It's why you need Advantage Gold. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver the right way. Call 800-900-8000. We don't pay celebrities millions of dollars. We pass that value on to you. It's why we're number one. Call 800-900-8000 now. Speak with one of our experts and learn how. We'll send you a free gold kit and a copy of my national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call 800-900-8000 now.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
That is Armadillo. Stop whining.
Email the show anytime you'd like. info@radiolawtalk.com. I-N-F-O. Info. Info at radiolawtalk.com.
We're back at Radio Law Talk, and it was kind of interesting, some of the things that we were talking about. And I wrote some very important notes that I wanted to talk about. And by the way, guess what? I have absolutely no idea where I wrote the notes down. So I know that Cal, I'm getting old. You know, I write notes so I can remember stuff, but then I don't remember where I wrote the notes down.
Well, I do it. I can't read them.
Yeah, I just so. But anyway, I guess, Todd, you left. I'm going to do it all wrong. So, Denise, you... Todd, you left the...
Denise's answer is essentially they hung him out to dry. Right.
The lawyer's all washed up.
Yeah, the lawyer's all washed up. He was hung out to dry. I said he was clotheslined by the city. Well, playing on the clothesline puns.
You know what? You know what's interesting all about that stuff? It just doesn't. It doesn't have the same effect when we.
You mean about the replies?
Yeah.
Absolutely
replies.
Nothing.
It was
okay.
Zero. All right, Cal, tell us about what happened in this case again. Review it again.
Really. Okay. Now, what did you say?
I said I followed Todd.
With Todd. You went with Todd. Okay. So let's go back to Winooski and see what's going on. Mr. Meyer was fired because immediately after the ordinance passed, a citizen called the mayor and said, "Mayor, you are as dumb as a mud fence. Don't you know that there is a law in our state that prohibits the banning of clotheslines? You can't pass one in the city. It's against state law. Why doesn't your city attorney know that?" And the mayor didn't like the city attorney that much anyway, so he took this allegation of incompetence, turned it against him, and, by the way, no case.
Oh, Denise.
That means I
was that something
on.
You made out, or that something really happened?
Well, it's kind of a scenario sort of a deal, but in a different town. I just applied it to Winooski. Yes.
How did you find Winooski, Vermont?
I just wanted to find an exclusive enclave that would be likely to ban something like clotheslines because they're all snooty and snobby.
But you just kind of like looked up in the dictionary Vermont and then Winooski?
Yeah, just started looking around. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. How would you find that town of all towns?
Isn't it crazy?
Is it Vermont? So people who know about that town, you can tell them they became famous because of Radio Law Talk.
Yeah.
So that's
we should get a radio station right there, and we can go in and we can just go crazy for Winooski.
That's exactly right. It's a beautiful town, by the way.
Yeah.
Good job, Cal.
Thank you.
Stumping us.
That's Radio Love.
The rule is never go with Cal, never go with Todd or Fred. That's the rule, and I didn't follow it. Always follow Denise.
Next hour to Sacramento, California.
Woo!
And the Bibba Restaurant.
Bibba.
Next hour.
B-I-B-B-A.
Yeah, next hour. On Radio Live.
Okay, we're going to have to try it out. Look, there's a lot going on in this country right now, and it's, you know, we all hope and pray for the country, what's best, and it's just things are interesting. I always say, you know, as I mentioned to my wife, it's interesting, huh, Denise? All you have to say is interesting. It's just, what else do you say? What's all the things that are happening right now? But one of the issues is you know, the immigration policy. Obviously, when Biden came in, and we do not get political, but this is a legal issue, Trump and Biden have two completely different beliefs in the immigration policies. Trump believes, basically, as people are claiming asylum from Mexico, that you stay in Mexico while we review and determine whether or not you're allowed to come over for, you know, purposes of, you know, I guess there's a list of reasons why you're allowed to claim that you're...
Asylum, medical,
any reasons to come over. Well, under the Trump administration, the law was passed that basically you had to stay in Mexico while we reviewed this. And Biden changed it and said, no, you can come to the United States and we'll keep you in the United States while we review to see whether or not it's a legitimate request for asylum. And so the Supreme Court came out and just came out. It was a 6-3. Is that right? It was 6-3 that the upheld the Trump administration's rules about people have to stay in Mexico while seeking asylum, and they review their asylum, I guess, paperwork. So here's the interesting thing. This all occurred in Texas, right? It's a case out of Texas, and a lower court held that the Trump administration's current immigration policy is to stand, right? And then that's when the appeal went up.
Yes, and they did it based upon a ruling under President Barack Obama. And President Barack Obama, he made a ruling, and then when President Trump tried to kind of overturn that and change that policy ruling, the Supreme Court said, no, you have to have a very well-stated reason why you're doing it. And Biden did not do that when he tried to overrule this policy. It was called the MPP program, the Migrant Protection Protocols. And so now what everybody is telling Biden is you can do it again, but you got to have a stated reason.
And you didn't they say the courts held that you had to go through? Is this the one? Maybe I'm wrong.
The Dreamers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But you have do you have to go through the
proper
Congress,
procedure.
Which is the Congress to get this? But no, maybe
no,
I'm thinking
not
something
this
else.
One.
But here's the point on this issue is they left it open. And I'm going to look for exactly the words on that. Yes, they left it so the program is in, quote, good faith. Is what the Biden administration needs to implement this in good faith, basically that leaves some discretion as they move forward to what the government's going to do. And I know that they've said basically they're going to look at the – they're going to probably try to find some loopholes of what that means of good faith attempt by the government. Go ahead, Todd.
Just the buzzwords that the court used, and this is important because this refers to the standard or when a court – might be likely to overturn something is there's the executive power that the president holds, but he cannot, any president cannot use it in what's called an arbitrary and capricious manner. And there were certain things that the court believed that the Biden administration did not take into consideration. For example, the undue effect it had on Texas to open the borders and have folks come in. And because of that, it seemed arbitrary and capricious without dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's.
Awesome. We're going to come back and talk about the eviction moratorium of people in their homes or apartments. And that is a very interesting one when we come back.
So as Fred said, there's much more stuff coming up on Radio Law Talk here, and you won't want to miss any of it because it all relates to you and your everyday life on Radio Law Talk. We'll be back. Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Keep listening for an exciting offer from U.S. Med. If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain and inconvenience of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. 800-251-7560. 800-251-7560. We'll tell you all you need to know about CGMs. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use. It helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And with insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now to learn more. 800-251-7560. 800-251-7560. Plus, get free shipping and we'll bill your insurance company for you. CGMs are the newest in diabetic technology. They can help you stay in range and manage your diabetes better. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost. And delivery is free. Remember, if you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. Call 800-251-7560. 800-251-7560. 800-251-7560. Copays and deductibles may apply. 800-251-7560. That's 800-251-7560. Sponsored by U.S. Medical Supply.
USA Radio News. I'm Brad Bernards. President Joe Biden told Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett at the White House on Friday that the United States has other options if using diplomacy fails with Iran in efforts to ensure it never develops a nuclear weapon. The two leaders used their meeting to reaffirm U.S.-Israeli relations and discuss how to approach a nuclear threat from Iran.
Representative Jake Elsie, Republican of Texas, who deployed to Afghanistan three times as a Navy fighter pilot, told Fox News in an exclusive interview he wants to know who's behind the curtain, referring to President Biden.
When he said, I was instructed to ask questions, to let these reporters ask me questions. Those are his words. The President of the United States doesn't get instructed by anybody. Everybody who has a staff takes input from that staff.
This is USA Radio News.
Millions of Americans are preparing for food shortages. No wonder, with increasing bizarre news headlines, water shortages, and the trucking crisis, we're seeing the early warning signs. Food shortages can happen overnight, catching you completely by surprise. That's why it makes good sense to secure some emergency food kits while you can. Emergency food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage, unlike grocery store food that goes bad fast. The company to trust is My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families in recent years. Our food kits give you over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs under stress to survive. We ship fast and discreet to your door. You'll have your food within days, too, not weeks or months. Our mission is your survival, and our food could definitely be a lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. So don't wait. It's time to act. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Boys are weird. How did that happen? Oh, no.
This is Radio Law Talk with Frederick Petty.
You know, we're just talking about the asylum seekers, about the United States, and talk. You know, we talk about this during the break, and we have no problem talking to our listeners about what we say during the break. But you're right, Todd. It was kind of more. It really isn't a Trump issue. It's more of a Biden issue, right? I mean, let's just.
This whole thing. It was a Biden did something, and the court said you can't do that. So. They might have used a similar rationale that they've used with previous presidents. My guess is it wasn't the first time it was used was with Trump. It probably happened in the past, but it's a Biden issue, and he instituted something under executive order as an executive order, and the court came back and said, yeah, that was arbitrary and capricious. You got to show a little bit more. So.
Right. So, and really had nothing to do with Trump. And I bet
well, it did.
Just...
It was a Trump-era policy.
Right.
And Biden did not take the correct measures or had the right intentions when he did not honor the policy. So it's like a new president coming in can't just decide not to do something
that's
already established policy.
Yeah, and it's not, unless it's not arbitrary and capricious, which is what the court was saying.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the big issue here is I've always kind of wondered, but I'm not a big apartment complex guy. I know people who own apartment complexes, homes that rent them out to people. But apparently there's been since COVID a moratorium on, whether or not you can kick someone out if they're not paying their rent. My general understanding, and this is general, and this is not a legal issue I'm saying, is the government will cover, I believe, in a lot of places, up to 80% of the rent. Let's say a person has $1,000 a month rent. The government will cover up to, let's say, $800 of that rent if they're not paying rent during the COVID time period.
Yeah, there was a federally funded pot, if you will, to help out.
A grant
of $5 billion. As of, as of this week, only 11% of that has been dispersed. And
wow.
So Yeah, not a whole lot of it has been dispersed, but it is there to be used for helping to pay rent. And you know, it's pitched as this is something to help folks stay in their home. This is pitched to this is something that will help the renters stay in their home. But this is systemic. It also helps the homeowner, these individuals that buy a home and their mortgage payments haven't stopped.
Meanwhile, they still have the landlord,
that's what I'm talking about, the landlord, somebody purchased an investment property and they're renting it out to somebody. They still have to make their mortgage payments and what have you. And this fund, if used properly, should provide a relief for both of them. The tenant pays the rent, and then the landlord who has this is able to take the rent payment and make their mortgage payment. That hasn't really been happening.
Yeah. No, there's $46.5 billion designated for that purpose, but the infrastructure to distribute that money is not there.
Wow.
And they've only distributed 11% of the money, which is about $5 billion.
So the landlord takes a haircut, right? The tenant gets to stay. The landlord doesn't get the money to make his payments, and the government dawdles away, which usually can mean, and you know this, you've seen this before, is they take that money and say, oops, we don't have any way to hand it out. I guess they'll have to put it over in another budget. And that does happen.
Yeah, I wonder if what's going on, and not just that, I'm wondering about the landowners. Let's assume it does get doled out to them. The process to get the money is probably arduous at best, right?
I would think so.
It's just not just like, hey, oh, these guys didn't pay the rent. Oh, here's your check. I probably have to go through paperwork, fill it out. And so the question is, how long does this have to continue? And the Supreme Court says no more. And that's what they're saying roughly. I don't know who's saying this, the government of the United States, or I don't even know who's the 3.5 million. I don't remember who is the person that's saying it's about 3.5 million.
Well, the president asked the Centers for Disease Control to issue an order saying that the rent moratorium would, the eviction moratorium would continue. And the Supreme Court said, you don't have the authority. You can't do that.
That's exactly right.
No, yes, that's the bottom line. But previously, what makes this interesting is that there was another case challenging the moratorium. And because it was going to expire so soon after the Supreme Court took it up, they just let it expire on its own. And Brett Kavanaugh actually voted with the liberals to let it stand and just expire in July of this year. And so the CDC thought, oh, we can get that, too. So they made another moratorium, made it very small how long it was going to last. October 3rd, it was supposed to expire, thinking we're going to get through it again because it happened before.
The CDC, that's the key word. Go ahead, Todd. That's the key word we're going to talk about.
The case that Denise is talking about, the court made that decision in like June of this year, where they said, is the moratorium, is it constitutional or not? And they looked at it and said, well, it's going to end on its own accord in July. So, yeah, it's not constitutional, but we're not going to do anything about it because it's going to end on its own come
moot.
In 30 days. Now, here is probably why some of the justices says, no, we should end it right now. Because it appears that the executive branch looked at that and said, well, if they're going to let it go until July, now we have until then to try to disperse that money. And if we can get the CDC to go ahead and issue another moratorium, we already know that it's going to die. We already know that the court's going to strike this down. However, it takes a while for the paperwork to be filed and the appeal to be filed, and you got to get it up to the Supreme Court. So maybe we bought ourselves another 30 to 45 days under the CDC's act before the Supreme Court shuts it down. And it's just it was an attempt to continue to try to disperse this money. And I don't know if that strategy would have been doable if they just shut it down, even though it only had 30 days left back in June.
Well, here's the thing that bothers me. And this is what bothers me, and I'm glad the Supreme Court came out with it. I don't care what side of the liberal or Democrat, liberal or conservative you're on. The CDC is not and this is what irritates me about this whole thing. They're not the law, and they do not make our laws, nor do they make decisions. They can make a decision, but it's our Congress that makes the decision as to how to apply it. So the CDC could say, this is the issue, but it's not for the CDC to implement. And that's exactly what the court said here, and I'll quote the court. If a federally imposed eviction moratorium is to continue, Congress must specifically authorize it. In essence, No, the CDC can't authorize it. And that's what's going, in essence, here with the CDC.
And that's
right?
So true, because the CDC is not our legislative body, nor are they part of the judicial body. So it doesn't make law.
Or executive.
It could set policy, but it doesn't make law.
That's right.
And I think this is something important for people to remember, to recognize, because this decision is being played out, is being reported as if the Supreme Court shut this down. Their primary function was to come in, and it makes the Supreme Court sound political. We didn't like this, so we shut it down, or we're not going to. No, oftentimes, and I think that's what's going on here, the Supreme Court steps in almost like a parent. To say, no, no, your chores are this, your chores are that, you don't do this person's work, you don't do that person's work, and they're reminding everybody where the lines are in terms of responsibility. The executive branch doesn't make law. The judicial branch doesn't make law. If you want a law, the legislative branch has to do it. And they're often called upon to step in and say, folks, everybody's trying to do everybody else's job. You got to knock this off, right? The executive branch can't do this. It's a legislative branch issue. And go ahead and put the task where it belongs. The number of times the court's been called upon to do that, I've lost count. It's like almost in most cases that come up from
every
the government.
Year.
Yeah. But people gloss over that and they think, oh, this is just the judicial branch trying to make law. No, they're trying to delineate what the law is,
right?
What the responsibilities are.
And here's the interesting thing. I think what you brought it up, Todd, is really the Biden administration was basically using this, it sounds like, to buy a few extra weeks to get it distributed.
Yeah.
And this is what's crazy. And this is where I think you're all conservative and Democrat. I mean, Democrat, Republican, agree that it's like the government is slow. And the fact that they have not pushed this and got this money out, and the officials from the Biden administration are now saying move more aggressively in distributing this rental money, because really it doesn't matter if they're going to be evicted if the people go, oh, I've got the money now to pay you, right? And so if the government's sending the money out, then there's no eviction issue, right? So I think that's what the Supreme Court rightly said. You better get your act together, government, or people are going to be evicted. And that's what's going on here. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about why a prosecutor is recusing himself over a case. We'll be back after this.
Wow. Interesting stuff coming up right here on Radio Law Talk. And remember, you can listen free anytime at RadioLawTalk.com every Saturday, 9 to noon Pacific time. So tune in there, and remember, there is no charge for that service. We provide it to you because we like it. We'll be back.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
This is Denise Dirks.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name is Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers, but if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
This is the best show ever.
This is Radio Law Talk with Frederick Petty.
Remember, if you want to call in, you call in at 855-LAW-RADIO. Again, 855-529-7234. Or tweet us at Radio Law Talk. You can talk to us via Twitter or Instagram. And in fact, you just tweeted something out. Isn't that right, Denise?
I did last night.
Yeah, you're such
a good tweeter. I figured it out again. I got a new phone, and I had to change all my settings to do all this stuff.
You're a tweeter. I want you to talk about this next case. This is very interesting. There's a double murder, and a prosecutor is recusing himself. But tell me, let's lay this out, the facts of what happened with this young man and the issues going forward before we even get into why this solicitor has recused himself, and by the way, has recused himself on other cases too.
Yeah, so the individual is the 14th Circuit Solicitor Duffy Stone. They call them different – the prosecutors, they call them different things in different states. In this jurisdiction, South Carolina, they call them the solicitor. In some – when I was in Tennessee, it was called the district attorney general. In California, we call them deputy or district attorneys. It's just the elected official, the person that's responsible for prosecuting crimes on behalf of the people in a certain jurisdiction. And this individual, Duffy Stone, in South Carolina, there was a double shooting a couple of months ago. And Paul and Maggie Murdaugh are the two victims. It's a mother and a son. The father came home from visiting his ill father and came home to find his wife and son shot to death on his property in South Carolina. Right now, they don't have any, they haven't named any suspects. If they have any persons of interest or anything like that, they haven't named those. It's only a couple of months in trying to solve this. Well, this solicitor, essentially the district attorney, the prosecutor, prosecutors don't typically get involved in investigation. They use what was investigated and then go forward with the prosecution. But investigators will run things by the prosecution for getting warrants, and the prosecutor obviously wants to keep tabs on the status of the case because it's a big case. And recently, like within the last week, this solicitor has recused himself from any further participation in this case. I mean, it's not even to his office yet to prosecute, but he has recused himself going forward from having any participation in this case. And the big question is, he's citing a conflict of interest, but the question is, what is that conflict of interest? Now, folks locally are reading the tea leaves. They've got a couple of things. For example, the young man who was killed had volunteered at the solicitor's office, had worked there, and the family of the deceased for, was it like two or three prior terms, members of that family had occupied the same position that Stone now occupies as the solicitor for that jurisdiction, and they knew each other, they were friends and stuff. And so if there's anything more than that, we don't know. We know that essentially it doesn't appear that the family had been given, or members of the family had been given, any breaks because of that knowledge, because I believe it was this young man, Paul, who was the son who was killed. He had been previously was prosecution was pending against him for his involvement in, I believe, a boating accident,
right,
that resulted in the death of somebody. And so it's not like it appears that the prosecution was looking the other way as it was because of the relationship, but this prosecutor is now out of it. And I think that raises a couple of questions. First, if he specifically has recused himself, we saw this kind of in the Jesse Smollett case. If the prosecutor recuses themselves, does that recuse the whole office? In the state of Illinois, if the prosecutor recuses herself, which happened in that case, the correct protocol was for the court to appoint another prosecutor to come in and review whether charges should be filed. She didn't follow that. I don't know what the issue is in South Carolina. It's just that the top guy is saying, I'm not in anymore. And I'll tell you, I like his decision, even though I don't know why he did it.
Well, back in when the boat case was going on, when the now victim was being prosecuted for a boat, some drowning and a crash with a boat, he recused himself. So he previously had recused himself. But then in June, he said, I have no reason to step aside. I'm staying in. So something recently happened to change his mind. Maybe somebody reminded him, hey, you recused yourself before because you have connections to this family. Or maybe something has come fruitful as to the two murder victims, and maybe he had to recuse himself for another reason.
Could be. I'll tell you why I like this decision, even though I have no idea what the basis of the recusal is. Because as a prosecutor, one of the things, and I've said this so many times in recent months on this show, recent episodes, as a prosecutor, you not only want the conviction, but you want to preserve the integrity of the conviction. And it's not just about winning at trial. It's about winning at trial in such a way that the conviction will survive appeal. And if this individual even thinks he's got a remote conflict of interest that would call his impartiality into question about whatever is coming down, I think it's the right thing to do for him to step down and to have somebody that doesn't have any either conflict or the appearance of a conflict come in and handle this case, so that if a perpetrator is ultimately apprehended and prosecuted, they can't come back and say, well, you were biased because you knew the family and the kid worked for you and you did all of this. I think he's doing the right thing.
Yeah, and he sent a letter to the attorney general and asked the attorney general to step in. So it looks like that might be the appropriate mechanism. When he recuses himself, then he lets the attorney general know, and then the attorney general will handle it.
Exactly. Instances where a prosecutor was overzealous and it came back to bite them, Bill Cosby. Yes. Right?
Exactly.
They wanted all this kind of stuff, and they went at trial, and the court comes back and says, yeah, you submitted too much evidence. You had a conflict of interest, all this stuff. Yeah, you might have won there, but the prosecution's not going to the conviction's not going to stand on appeal. And now what do you have? You have a victim, right, wrong, or otherwise, who's sitting there saying, this case has been dismissed. The court ordered that there's no other retrial. What do I do to have, my grievances redressed? He is now, Cosby's now out of prison, and all of that because you had a prosecutor who probably could have mounted a compelling case even without the evidence they sought to get.
And well, that wasn't the reason. The reason that it got overturned and why Cosby was released was because of the previous DA making an agreement not to prosecute.
They also had the issue with the cumulative evidence.
Right.
Yes, that's
came
true.
And they sought to, we want five people instead of three people to testify to all this. All of that went in. And quite frankly,
but the prosecutor was bound by the previous DA's decision. So it was both. And that's why the prosecutor, in Cosby, it was prosecutorial misconduct.
Right,
yes.
All three of us agree to that.
Yeah.
Yes. All three of us agree that case, whether you're on the Me Too movement or whatever,
absolutely,
it is that all three of us believe that should have been overturned and he should get out of jail, not for what he did or didn't do, but for the improper way that the prosecutor or the way that they prosecute this case. We pegged it, didn't we?
Yeah.
We pegged this from day one. This is not right what you're doing, and we believe in the freedoms of the Constitution. And right or wrong, we want things done right when people are being prosecuted. Because you know what? Never know when you're on that side, right?
That's right.
And we appreciated that. So we're going to get into when we come back. You know, we've got a little bit of time, but I don't want to get into the San Quentin COVID issue. San Quentin, by the way, and I'm gonna lay this out, is a prison out of California. It's a very famous prison because it's a lot of the I'm going to say a lot of the hardened criminals are at San Quentin. And there's a number of individuals. They had a COVID outbreak, and there's an individual who was apparently an upstanding, very senior worker there as a prison guard that went in to help and said, look, people are showing up saying they're sick, not showing up because they don't want to get COVID. And I get that. But he went to help and was, I'm going to say, kind of a hero. And he gets COVID and dies. Now, the question is, can they sue the employer, which is San Quentin, or the government over his death? And I'm going to bring up a little bit of my, as a personal injury lawyer, I'm not a workers' comp lawyer, some very interesting issues with that when we come back, okay? And then after that, we're going to probably get into a little more. We've got ABC's, sexual assault accusations again. We'll be back after this.
Speaking of San Quentin, you know, they let all of the death row prisoners out, moved them to other places. That's where death row is, because of fear they would catch COVID. Now, ironically, a guard catches it and passes. So quite a story there. More of that coming up next hour on Radio Law Talk at 6 minutes after, whether on your favorite radio station or whether you click over to the app, RadioLawTalk.com, and click the Listen Live button. We'll be there until noon Pacific time. We hope you will, too. Stay tuned.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.